So we've been talking about the road to abundant life. And we began talking about, so we talked about a lot of things. We've talked about keeping your eye on the vision. We've talked about the shepherd. Remember that? We talked, actually, Jill Blue came and that was a favorite of us. Still hear how positive that feedback from having Jill come in as a counselor to come in and talk about the importance of mental health on this road to abundant life and how and where God's called us and the role of counseling. That works in that. I had a guy this week and was just telling me the power of going to see a counselor. Not to get into any details, but his life has been, his mind, he said, has been open to new things that he'd never thought before. He never realized how some of the things in the past has affected them today. And that comes when, and I remember I sat there and I said, so it's more than just coming and talking to the pastor. He goes, oh, yeah, it's another level, brother. I was like, I hurt my feelings a little bit. But I was really, but it's absolutely the truth. And so the role of counseling, especially in the age of brokenness that we're in, that we live in today. So we talked about the idea of engaging in the fight of faith. We talked about dealing with the enemy. But I want to go back this morning and go back to the first scripture that we talked about. We're going to launch off here in John chapter 10 and verse 1. This is Jesus talking. He says this. He said, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in another way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own outside, he goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus again said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep, and all who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will come in and go out and find pasture. They will go in and, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. This whole context of this life, abundant life that we've heard about, this is one of those scriptures, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says, I have come to have life and life to the full. Notice the context of this scripture is all about the sheep having relationship with the shepherd, knowing the shepherd. And knowing who the shepherd is. So we began this journey on abundant life as an invitation. This journey was not initiated by you. It was initiated by Jesus himself. That Jesus is the one calling us into this life of abundance. He calls himself as the gate. He's the shepherd of the fold. He's the one who leads us and guides us into the fields to graze in. Amen. This is where we want to end the series as we began the series. So Jesus is calling us into a place of relationship. We say, this is what we I don't know if we say it as much anymore, but I remember when I first got saved, a long time ago, but really, actually not even just got saved, really just dedicated my life to the Lord. That's a different kind of thing. When you say, whatever I do, it's all going to be for the glory of God. That's a whole different deal. And that's where God's calling us into. Actually, this song that we sang, Building Your Life Upon the Rock, we talk about building your life on the rock. Actually, it says, Jesus says, it's not just this ethereal, build your life on Jesus. He actually says, those who do my will and do what I ask them to do, those are the people who build their lives on the rock. It's not just Jesus, dude, right? No, it's actually listening and obeying what Jesus has to say, right? So this idea that And we used to say this, that Jesus, that Christianity is not not a religion. It's a relationship. How many of y'all have heard that? How many of y'all believe that? You go, no, Christianity is not just a religion. It's a relationship. I'll say it's both. It's both. But its majority, the working out of it is a relationship. So my question this morning is for not people out in the world. It's for us. How's that relationship going? How's the relationship with God going? We see in the beginning, in the garden, where God creates man and woman and has friendship, evidently, with them, and walked in the garden with them, and has fellowship with them. In the beginning, it's the way it was intended. Relationship was always intended. And then we know the fall and separation from God and all that. But I want to go to the scripture in Exodus. It's actually one of my favorite scriptures. Let's just read it. So if you know this section of this part of the history is Moses and the guys are out in the wilderness. They've come out of Egypt, right? And so they, and it says this in verse 7, starting in Exodus 33 and verse 7. It says, now Moses took a tent and pitched it outside the camp at a distance from the camp. And he called it the tent of meeting. And it says, anyone who wanted to consult with the Lord would go to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. Anyone. Open and available to anyone. I talked with Jessica. I said, Jessica, I just read this. Like, it says anyone. Does that mean anyone? And we're both like, yeah, it says anyone. It means anyone. Right? I mean, obviously, there comes a time where it's this, the priests and those guys. But right here, this tent was anyone. Anyone. And it says this. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would stand up, each one at the door of his tent. And they would watch Moses until he entered the tent. That reminds me of when God calls all the people. He says, hey, everybody go fast and pray because tomorrow we're all coming up. All of you are coming up onto this mountain to meet with God. And the people went, no. You, have you seen the fire, the smoke and all that stuff? No, Moses, you're going up. And good luck with that. Right? It kind of reminds me of this. Again, the invitation is to anyone, but only Moses goes up. And then watch this. And when Moses, verse 9, entered the tent, the pillar of cloud, this is the thing, the pillar of cloud and the fire by night would guide them, right? So this pillar of cloud represented the very presence of God, would come down and remain at the entrance to the tent. And the Lord would speak with Moses. As all the people saw the pillar of cloud remaining at the entrance to the tent, they would stand up, then bow and worship, each one at the door of his tent. Verse 11, the Lord would speak with Moses face to face. Just as a man speaks with his friend. The God Almighty speaking to Moses as a person speaks to a friend. We can't gloss over that. Then Moses would return to the camp. His assistant, the young man Joshua, the son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. This is amazing. I want you to picture this moment. Is it cold in here? A little bit. Could you just kind of go up and hold that down? We got new thermostats this week because another one of those little bites, like our thermostats, like died on us. So I want you to picture this. There's all of this children of Israel. There's a tent out in the back. Where if you wanted to go speak with the Lord, you went there. On your own timetable. And they went out. And so whoever wanted to go. So Moses gets out there and he starts to go. And I don't know why the people would all stand at the front of their tent. Maybe to see, is he going to die? Like, he's going to die. Like, I don't know. Like, what's the reason? Like, all watching, waiting. And all of a sudden, the pillar of cloud that represented the very presence of God, when Moses entered into the tent, would go whoosh. And the glory of God, God's presence himself, would meet with Moses face to face as someone meeting with a friend. They could have used a lot of words and not friend. They used the word friend. So, and then, evidently, Joshua, I guess, would kind of sneak in behind him and go into the tent. And when Moses left the tent, Joshua stayed. Is it any wonder why the next person in command after Moses dies is Joshua? Is there any wonder? You know, I've always wondered, well, how come it wasn't Caleb? Because they both were faith people, right? So, but there was something about Joshua who wanted to stay in the presence. To stay in the presence of God. To stay in his majesty. And go, Moses, go do what you got to do, but I'm staying right here in the presence of God. We talk about, you see, when we talk about knowing God, like, what are we really meaning? We're knowing about his existence. We know about him. You know, I'm told in seminary, well, and even in my experience of going to off to school, to Bible school, it's amazing how you have to be careful with knowledge. You have to be careful with the abundance of knowledge, because the abundance of knowledge isn't what this thing's all about. The abundance of his presence is what this is all about. The abundance of his relationship with him is what it's all about. It's important, as we, and we've said this before, it's important in this day and age that we make sure that we are doctrinally sound 100%. You know me, I'm a stickler on that. We need to make sure we stay doctrinally sound. But we got to make sure that's not all we get. It's one thing to know about. See, I mean, the devil knows every doctrine that there is. The scripture says that even the devil knows of God and he trembles. We know the facts about him, but we don't know him. I remember I had a friend of mine that was that knew a security guard at the Georgia Dome, back when we had a Georgia Dome, so it tells you how long ago this was. And he actually calls me up and says, hey, it's a Monday night football game in Atlanta. Do you want to go to the game? I was like, yes. Yes. If you know me, you know that's a big yes. And it's a Monday night. And so he invites us there, and he goes, oh, by the way, he goes, I know the security guard. I got tickets for you, but I also know the security guard. We're going to let you go down on the field before the game. I went, again, yes. Yes, 100%. So Wesley and I, we go to this game. And sure enough, we get to go down on the field before the game, and there's all the people, like on the Monday night, some of y'all know, remember the Monday night football guys, all the desk is all there, and we're on the field just right, just like, and me and Wesley were just like, it was amazing. And so he goes, all right, so, you know, it was getting closer to the start of the game, so he goes, all right, let's go up to our seats. And I was like, all right. So we walk with this security guard, And so when the security guard, we got this elevator. We're all in the back areas. It was really cool. And he got in this elevator, and we got in this elevator, and he goes, can y'all stay after the game? And I knew Wesley had to go to school in the morning, but I looked at him and went, the answer is yes. Yes, we can. When the head of security says, do you want to? He says, you can skip school tomorrow. He goes, my number one security responsibility is for Matt Ryan. He goes, would you like to meet him after the game? And I went, yes. Wesley's wearing a Matt Ryan jersey. And we're like, yes, of course. And so sure enough, like we watched the game. They won. They beat the Eagles. It was great. And it was fantastic. So we watched the game, and he goes, well, meet us down here. And so so we're trying to find our way down. And so we go over to this area where all these fans, I didn't even know this was a thing. So at the end of the game, these fans go, and the team goes by, and sometimes they'll sign autographs as they leave. And so we're standing there with him. This side note, there was this really big jerk. It was right there. Just like, he was like standing in front of us. He was like, there's these people that walk by, and he would like reach out in front and all this stuff and try to like, and my son just going, I just want a little, he had a little book and he wanted them to sign his little book. Anyway, I was going to start naming some players, but we did have a couple of guys come by and say, but this guy was just kind of, yeah, if you've ever been in a line, there's always that guy signing autographs. If you've ever been in one of those things, there's always that guy. Well, this was that guy. And so he was kind of annoying, and I was kind of pushing back a little bit, be honest. And my son, like, move out the way, dude. Anyway, this is longer than I expected. But the guy sees me, and he's standing on the other side of the line, on the other side of the roped off area, like standing in the middle where all the players were walking in to their cars. And so he looks at me. And he goes, David, come over here. And that guy just turned around. That jerk guy kind of looked at me like, I go, excuse me, we're going over there. So literally, we're over there. It's that favor, brother. So we're standing there, literally. Not all the players would go to the ropes. So here comes like everybody, all the players. Matt Ryan's still doing press conference at the end of the game. But all these players are coming, like Julio Jones. It's like walks up, and Wesley goes, hey, Julio. Like Julio walked past him, and Wesley went, hey, Julio, like called him back. And so Julio like rubbed his head and signed his little thing. So all the play, most of the players had already walked by, and we'd, you know, whatever, high-fived him and all that kind of stuff. And so we're standing there waiting for Matt Ryan to come out of his press conference. So I'm standing with his security guy, Matt Ryan's wife, and some friends of his wife. I'm like, well, this is happening. And his wife is talking to us. And Julio Jones had just gotten a new car, and he had fired it up. It was an old Oldsmobile with a big old engine on it. So it was like, rawr. He goes, and she was like, oh, that Julio. He's just, I was like, so we're sitting around talking with these people. I'm like, this is a nobody, dude. Like, and, you know, me and Wesley are just going, you know. And so sure enough, Matt Ryan walks out. And so we meet him. He signs it. We got a picture taken. He signed Wesley's jersey. He needs to go in the Hall of Fame. So that jersey's going to be worth some money. But he signed it. We still have it. He have his jersey with his signature on the back. And he's like, pictures and everything. And so we were like, oh, you know, cool. And he patted him on the head. He goes, did you enjoy the game? All this stuff. And I'm like, this is so exciting. I enjoyed the game too, Matt. He's paying all this attention to my son. So anyway, so that all went down. And like, it's a great memory. You know what? It was so cool. You know what I don't have? Matt Ryan's number. Just because I met him doesn't mean I know him. Just because I had an experience with him doesn't mean that I actually know him. Just because you met him doesn't mean that you know him. I have never gone out to eat with Matt Ryan. We have never had any more than a light conversation about, thanks for coming to the game. I don't know him. But I do know a lot of you. I do know my family. Because you know why? Because I spent time with them. I spent time in their presence. They've talked to me. They've shared with me. I've shared with them. I know them because I spent time with them. It's not knowing about him. It's knowing him. The Westminster Catechism says this, when they talked about the meaning of life, it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Isn't that good? To enjoy him forever. You know, we chase money in our culture. We chase promotion. We chase fame. We chase material possession. We chase what society has convinced us is the most important thing. The things that are eternal, the things that are going to last, the things that are going to be there forever are going to be my relationship with him. We chase things we try to chase things, the life that's found outside of God. We understand that this is the lie of the garden. I know, God, you're with me. I know we're together all the time, and I know it's really, really cool. I know that, and I know what you've asked me to do, but that tree, that tree is, and it's enticing to my eye. It's something that I desire. Then I got this enemy that's speaking to me going, yeah, go get it. It's this continual thing to find life outside of God. See, God has made it clear that we can know him. That we can know him. I want to read you several scriptures. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in their strength. The wealthy should not boast in their wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth, and I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration. John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus says, "Eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you." This is God. This is Jesus' prayer in the garden. This is eternal life. This is abundant life. This is the life. And this is Zoe life. This is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Psalms 9, verse 10. Those who know your name trust you. Because you have not abandoned those who seek you, Lord. 2 Peter verse 2, I want to drill this into us. 2 Peter 1 verse 2, may the grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. For his divine power is giving everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. First Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Psalms 105, verse 3. Boast in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek always his face. And then there's that simple scripture in James 4 where it says, if you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. This is, what is seeking the Lord? It's simply drawing near to him. And God's promise is that he would draw near to you. He would draw near to you. So how do we draw near? How do we draw near to him? We do it through prayer. We do it through reading His Word. Absolutely. We do it through worship. And not just on Sunday morning. In your own time. To know Him. Just a quick thing about worship. It says that it's like this wild exchange of worship. And that word worship, the New Testament word worship, actually means I have a puppy. And the picture is when that puppy comes and starts licking at my hands or jumps up in my face and starts licking on my face. That's this word worship. It's to move forward as to kiss. Worship. And so, yeah, there's celebration and there's times that we celebrate the goodness of God and we get excited and maybe even run around the church, whatever we do. But then there's this moment of me and, you know, you hear me say it all the time. Just you and Him. There's this time where it's just me and you, God. I'm just singing out your goodness. And I'm drawing near God. You will not forsake the ones who seek your face. God, I seek after you. In your presence, God, is fullness of joy. And this idea that it's just, I take the words, even some of these amazing words that we have. I take these words on the screen and I don't just say them. I take those words and go, yeah, I totally agree with what that. And then I personalize those words and now they've turned into my own words singing out to God. And I draw near to Him. And when I speak out of His goodness, it's interesting that the woman, it says the woman came to Jesus and fell down and worshiped Him. They didn't have Eric to lead you in worship. They didn't have Jeremy and Vicky. There was no worship team present. It was her and Him. She bowed down and just worshiped Him. See, we talked last week a little bit about the body, soul, and spirit. See, what true worship, Jesus says true worship are those who worship in spirit and in truth. This idea, and it actually says that God is searching for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Interesting. I heard a preacher say one time, if you're looking for God, just begin to start worship. And He'll come look for you. He's seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is this idea of truth? It's not just facts, like with the sincerity of your heart. When I worship God in truth, it's the sincerity of my heart out to God. And then also, he says, in spirit. You know why? Because you don't contact God with the physical realm. We contact God because we are spirit beings. We worship God out of our spirit being, out of the innermost who we are. We worship Him there. It's not just the facts. It's not just I agree with those words. No, it's like, no. There's something that I want to express to my God. So, actually, I'm glad we have time. When I dedicated my life to the Lord, I was living, I was 21 years old. And I was living in a friend of mine's house. And it was better that I didn't live with my mom and my stepdad. We'll just leave it at that. So I moved out and moved in with these guys. And it was great. These guys were all passionate for the Lord. And there was one particular guy, his name was Tim. And he was kind of we called him the house mom. Of the house. And he was like, we always call him, man, Tim, you're like a wife in waiting, dude. Like, he did like all the cooking. He did like all this. I mean, he was amazing. Like, he was like, he did it all, right? He was the guy, and he told us how to put the dishes in the dishwasher. He told us to put the dishes in. Like, he was that guy, right? He was like a house mom. And we were kind of like just a little bit younger than him. So we were just, just irresponsible. That's basically it. And so, but he was super disciplined. And so, and I was not super disciplined. And I remember waking up, usually almost late for work, just enough time to get up and leave the house to get to, and, you know, back in the day, I had a lot of hair, and that was a problem, because fixing that thing was a mess. Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I had to get dressed and get ready to, and shoot out the door. But every morning when I would get up and I would walk, I would get out of my room, and Tim's, we shared a wall for our room. He was out there at his desk, and he's all like in deep contemplative prayer. And I would walk by him like, jerk. Like, it was so convicting. It was so convicting. You know, how many of you know those people? So convicting. You're like, oh my gosh. And so every morning it was like that. Like, he was always seeking the Lord. And I just knew that he was going, as I walked by, he would go, God, just help that guy, David. He's clueless. Like, so who knows that all his prayers were the reason I am what I am. But I remember being so stirred in the Lord. I remember being so stirred in the Lord to seek God, that his presence, to spend time with him. And evidently, back in the day, it had to be in the morning. It had to be in the morning. And so I would, and for some reason in my mind, remember when the space shuttle launched? How many of y'all remember space shuttle? And any rocket, for that matter, anymore, they're still that way. There's a launch window. You know that? There's a launch window. Like, you have to launch between this time and this time, or because if you don't, you'll miss your launch window and you just have to wait till the next day. That's exactly the way I felt with God. Like, in the morning, like, I felt like, oh, missed my launch window. Oh, well, gotta wait till tomorrow. And so that was my mindset. And I would drive to work. You got to understand, I would drive to work, and I'd be so disappointed in myself. I'd feel so guilty. God, you blew it again. You blew it again. And so as my life unfolded, I remember going to bed one night, and I said, God, this was my honest prayer. I said, God, whatever you got to do to get me up, whatever you got to do to wake me up in the morning, I said, well, I want you to do it. Whatever it takes, whatever you got to do to get me up. I go, because my number one thing is to seek you. That's what I want more than anything. And so I go to bed. I wake up the next morning. I look at the clock. I'm late for work. So now I'm mad. Now I was like, I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at God. I'm a little mad at God. Like, how much of a pure prayer is that, God? How is that? Like, how is not that? How do you not answer that prayer? I want to seek you, make sure I get up. Now I'm late. Like, what? I guess you don't want me to seek you. Fine. So I'm in there. I'm doing my hair, you know, and putting more deodorant on because I don't have time to take a shower and all these things. Like, you're just, you know how it is when you're late for work. You're rushing out the door. And I went, oh, man. All right. So I'm kind of ready to go, and I went back, went to grab my keys. When I went to grab my keys, I looked at the clock, and I read my clock wrong, and I was an hour before I had to leave for work. I was completely ready. This is a true story. Truly dressed, ready, keys in hand. I mean, I was ready to go. My first thought, I can go back to sleep for an hour. Like, honestly, that's like true story. But I didn't. I remember I just spent time with the Lord that morning. But on the way to work, the Lord just started really ministering to me. He goes, you know, I'm available all day long. I was like, oh, you are? You're like all day you're available to me? That's amazing. And so I did this, and it was almost like, I'll be honest, it was a drawing of the Holy Spirit. Hear me, it was a drawing of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you want me, I can be found by you. And so I determined every day after work, I would drive home from work. I would go to that house, go to my house, and I would go to my room, I closed the door. And this was my prayer. I would get down on my knees and next to my bed. I'd put some good old worship music on cassette. And I would say, this was my prayer, honestly. God, if you ever want me to do anything else, like in my life, like not just today, if you ever want me to get up from this place, I got to have your presence. Can I challenge you this morning? I said, God, if there's anything I want more, I want your presence, God. I got to have your presence. I hear all about all these people in the Bible, people like, no, God, I want your presence. I said, God, if you ever want me to eat another meal, I'm not going to do anything. And I remember that story. Remember the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel? He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. I'm not letting you go. And that was my heart. So I said, God, I'm not letting you go until I sense your presence. So I feel your tangible presence. Never felt it in my life. And that went on. And that day, God's presence came into that room. Not just that I wish it would have, but his real. It was like his glory filled that room. The glory of God filled that room. And it took about an hour of seeking God, just crying out to God, worshiping on a little cassette tape, worshiping God. And then the next day, come home from work. Same thing. I'm not letting you go. Listen, that season of my life was day after day after day after day of in my room encountering the presence of God. And not I want to feel it. God's presence would come. Sometimes I would seek the Lord. I would be praying for hours, an hour and a half. Sometimes I would just hit my knees and all of a sudden God's presence would. I remember this. Are you okay with this? I remember this. I remember God speaking to me. I remember I go, God, I don't understand this holiness thing. God, I don't understand what does it mean that you're holy? And so I'm on my knees and I'm in that. All I can tell is just when you're in the glory of God, it's like a big blanket of goodness. If you know, you know. And I remember saying, God, I just like, what is your holiness? God, I want to see your holiness. And all I can say is this, rock your world. All I can say is this, the texture of that whole thing switched. And the reality of a holy God and me not was really made. It was like the fear of the Lord. It was the awe of God. And immediately my reaction was this, I want the other stuff back. I want the goody feel. I want the warm blanket back. We say this, if you seek the Lord, he'll be found by you. We say that Jesus calls us out by name. He's not just the shepherd of the sheep, he's the shepherd of you. You learn to hear his voice as you spend time with him. You learn that all the stuff I had learned in Bible school was really great, but it was nothing to his presence. The stuff I learned in Bible school was really great, helped me guide some things and helped me put in context some of these things that I was experiencing. But those months of being in God's presence taught me more about God and about who I was to him than anything. Dylan will tell you. He has his own encounter story in the basement, in his basement. See, you have a friend that's on this journey to abundant life with you. It's no longer you trying to get God to do stuff for you. It's you and God. I am a co-laborer with Him. I get to experience His, what's the runner who said this? He says he was a professional runner. It was from that movie, whatever the movie, I can't remember the movie off the top of my head. Chariots of Fire. He says, when I run, I feel His pleasure. See, guys, that changed everything for me. Everything. It changed my opinion, my thoughts of how I conducted myself on my job. It affects everything. It affects how I conduct my life just in general. It changes how I see other people. Because something happens, you know, when Julie and I got married, we were two very different people. And now we're still different. But man, the commonalities that we think alike, that we know each other's thoughts before we have to say them. I don't need Julie to tell me how she's doing. I know how she's doing. How we approach life, how we've kind of aligned our lives with each other. See, when you're in relationship with somebody, that's what happens. You start thinking like the other person. You start talking like the other person. It's amazing. To be conformed to His image shouldn't be a work of your flesh. It should be a work of the Spirit of God with your spirit working together to make you into the person that God's created you to be. Because I know Him and He knows me. Can I make you hungry this morning? What this world doesn't need any more of are just Christians by name. What this world doesn't need, you say, David, but some people are like, David, I just feel like you've been able to hear from God. I spent time with Him. It doesn't come by accident. It doesn't come by wishing and hoping. It takes like anything else that you do. It takes time. It takes you to invest in your time with God. We'll talk about it in the next series after Easter. But hearing from the Holy Spirit will be one of the greatest. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how people stay married. I don't know how they raise kids. I don't know how they do. I'm not that smart. I don't know how to understand how they don't lose their mind when they get a new puppy. I don't understand. Without the voice and presence and fellowship of the Holy Spirit within my life, I don't know how. If you do it, good. I don't know how you do it. Let's all stand together. I've preached all of my notes and more so. Close your eyes right where you're at. I woke up to a text from Eric saying, dude, it's like me, Jeremy, and Robert on the worship team this morning. And the first thing that hits any leader, well, Eric and I can both tell you, leaders, the first thing that you experience is an immediate wave of discouragement. Honest. That's honest talking. But then the thought came to me, I know what I'm preaching this morning. You know what the devil doesn't want people to know? See, we say, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. Do you? Julie says it like this. She says, you can have as much of God as you choose to. Not as you want, but as you choose to. Come on up, Nick. Nick's got something he wants to share.
Is this on?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I was sitting there and I was listening to what he was saying. And I just felt like I needed to say something. Because I've learned a lot of times when it comes to spending with time with the Lord that the enemy will love to use shame to keep you away from his presence. And he will love to say, well, you haven't dotted every I and passed every test, so you can't run to him. And in a way, make you think it's based on everything that you did. And there's this verse in Psalms 5, and it really, Psalms 5, and it really changed my life. And it says, because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. You know, in my past, I had a failure, a major failure. And because of that failure, you know, I felt like I can't spend time with God. You know, like I blew it. And I was sitting in my room one day, and I was like, God, I was crying. And I was like, man, like, I can't, like, I blew this. Like, I blew it. Like, and I remember the Lord just coming to me. And I remember I was crying, and I heard the Lord say, all he said was, look up. That's it. That's all he said. And I remember physically lifting my head, and I remember feeling just the love and mercy of God just fall over me. And I just want to tell you, like, the Lord doesn't look at you as the sum of your failures.
That's good.
He's not withholding his presence from you because you blew it. Actually, when you blow it, that's the time to come running to
him. That's so good. That's so good.
You run to him. Before you try to have all the answers, you run to him. He will never, ever turn away a repentant heart.
That's so good. You keep the mic. Father, we thank you. It's interesting that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God still came looking for them. God, we look to you. God, would you stir our hearts this morning? God, I want to know you. This one thing I do. God, to know you. The power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, to know you, God. God, give us Moses' encounters. God, we actually have a better covenant than Moses did. A covenant built on grace and mercy, right standing with God has been restored. You and him. So my temptation is to coach you on how to do it, and I'm not going to do that because nobody coached me. You know what coached me was my hunger. What coached me was my hunger. I had a vision of knowing what that was like. I had a passion. And it drove me to do very just different things. So God, we thank you. Holy Spirit, come. Sweet Spirit of God, come. God, I pray, God, you would forgive us, God. from where we've sinned against you, God. We haven't hit the mark. And God, we thank you, God, that because of Jesus, it's not about hitting the mark. God, it's about receiving your grace and your unfailing love. So God, I pray, God, God, I know I'm not anything special, but God, I pray, God, that you would fill people with your glory. Fill people, God, in this room. God, I pray, God, that it wouldn't just be head knowledge anymore, but God, I pray that hunger would stir on the inside of them, God. So this is my suggestion. Everything I did that the Lord asked me to, everything I did to seek the Lord after work and all this thing was the under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I just, whatever the Lord is asking you to do. Some of you, you just need to, this is going to sound crazy, but you, all of your time that you spend is in God's word. That's wonderful. I would maybe switch it up a little bit and maybe put a longer time, put some worship music that you connect with, that is what we call vertical, that I sing directly to him. Not just about him, but directly to him. Maybe choose some of those songs. And me and Eric joke about it. It's really all about the you, right? Instead of the he, it's instead of those words, it's like the you words. You, O Lord, are a shield about me. And spend time. Invite his presence. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, God. We love you this morning. So we already have some, but I'm going to open these altars up. If you want to come with no, we're not going to have any lyrics. It's just the music Eric's going to play. But if that's you this morning, you just want to come up and just spend some time with him. But I encourage you, the biggest thing is you alone at home. So God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that your glory is available to us. And God, I pray, God, I thank you that you don't have a launch window. God, you're available to us any time of day. So God, we love you this morning. We thank you, God. Fill this place with your glory. And God, we do. We pray for Palm Sunday and Easter coming up, God. God, we pray, God, that you, that we would be people to invite people to church. God, we would be people that invite people to you on Easter Sunday, God. We thank you, God, that most people are more open on Easter than any other day. So, God, we ask, God, give us that one person to invite. We thank you, God. Let your glory come in the mighty name of Jesus. Like I said, these altars are open. You're welcome.